Welcome to the Character Chronicles, the People Show. Check the post for Husker Nation. Brought to you by Nebraska Spine Hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, I have a special guest today. I'm joined by former Husker quarterback, Tommy Armstrong Jr. How are you doing today, Tommy?
I'm doing good, Adam. How about you?
I'm doing good. I want to thank you for joining me. And I'll follow you on Twitter. You don't post a ton, so I'm kind of curious. What are you up to now? What are you doing nowadays?
I'm currently helping coach the Elite 707 team in Omaha, Nebraska. I'm actually training myself elite here in about 5 weeks to head up to Sioux Falls for my last IFL season. And as far as that, that's all I'm doing right now. Just helping out the kids, definitely with the 707 high school to middle school kids in Omaha.
I see you'll be doing another IFL indoor football league. So you said your final season. So are you retiring after this season then?
Yeah, I'm probably going to hang the cleats up after this year. Now it's time, you know, I'm married and things like that. So it's time to think about me and my wife's future. And, you know, sports, everybody that plays sports could tell you they're always going to have the itch to play sports. But at one time, and mom, you got to think about your future and just thinking about your health in the long run.
For sure. A lot of truth in that. Now, I'm sure you did, but did you catch the national championship game between Alabama, Ohio State? And just talk a little Nebraska football. How does Nebraska get back to just where they can at least start competing for championships again?
Honestly, you know, after watching those two teams play, I think just one thing that Nebraska can take from that is just building identity. I think these last few years, we just, as a program, hasn't had an identity for ourselves. Me being in college, I knew like right away, like we had to build identity for our team, our program, and just being able to, you know, latch on to something and everybody believe in it. And I think that's the struggle right now. You know, having guys come in from JUCO to early guys coming in to playing right away, just having that identity as a football team and having everybody believe in the same thing. I think right now you got a lot of people that's swaying different ways, and you kind of can see it each and every week. You know, they have, you know, spurs at a moment where they're actually doing really well, but at the same time, they have spurs at a moment where, you know, things are going downhill. And I think it's just, you know, that's one of the things that they're going to have to work on. And I talk with my buddy Searles all the time about just the game in general. It's just identifying things that we see each and every day. And I think identity is the key of just building a program and just building that chemistry within them, that team atmosphere, and the coach staff as well, all bonded together.
Now, as I'm sure you're aware, the college football has just changed a ton. Certainly from when I played, even when you played, the transfer portal has just completely changed college football and almost into an NFL free agency type of situation. So what are your thoughts? Because Nebraska's had as many or more players transfer than anybody else in the Big Ten. What are your thoughts on players transferring, why you think that might be, and things of that nature?
Honestly, you know, with all this COVID stuff going on, definitely this year, transfer portal is kind of really, really open for those guys to, you know, do what they think is best for themselves as far as their families. And you know, two key things were, you know, Wandell and J.D. Spielman. Me being real close with J.D., I knew J.D. just, you know, he had to think about, you know, what's best for him. A lot of times fans and a lot of people outside don't really realize that you have to think about the kid in the situation. You can't really sit back and think about what's best for the program. You got to think what's best for the kid. And with the transfer portal, I think it's a good thing, but it's also a bad thing, definitely for teams that, you know, build around a player. But at the same time, you have to think, you know, these are 18, 19-year-old kids that, you know, hasn't really, you know, matured enough to be in the real world right now. But at the same time, that with all this pandemic stuff going on, it's good for those guys to, you know, get home, be around some friends and family that, you know, they're close to and things like that. And a lot of times you see a lot of people say, you know, that got soft, get them out of there, you know, this or that. But I see it as a different way of just, you know, at a time being, you know, this season really didn't count. What's best for, as I'm thinking for them, like they're thinking, you know, what's best for me in this situation? You know, I had some great achievements. I've done this, I've done that, but with the transfer portal, I just think that, you know, they're thinking what's best for them at the moment and their future. And a lot of times after, you know, talking with JD a little bit, you know, just with him going through, you know, depression and things like that and just being stressed out, being in a better situation was best for him.
I got a two-part question for you. Did you ever think about transferring at any point during your time when you were at Nebraska? And speaking of JD, is he happy with how things turned out for him at TCU?
For me, the first question, did I ever think about transferring? It crossed my mind, but the thing about it was, you know, I had so much of a impact on my teammates, definitely going into my freshman year. It goes all the way back to my freshman year, earning those guys' trust and having that chemistry with those guys that I came in with. It's just more, for me, I was at an age where I was going into my junior year. I had 2 years left. You know, I was with my whole recruiting class. No one really looked at, you know, leaving. We just wanted to, you know, build around, because it, for me as a senior, going into my junior year, having a fresh offensive line, having guys around me on the skill position that believed in me just like I believed in them, it was kind of tougher for me to, you know, make that decision. So it always crosses your mind when you have a coaching change and things like that. But for me, I thought that, you know, I got a bunch of guys around me that's in the same situation as me.
Yeah.
But they looked at it the same way. You know, we can get together, get these younger guys, buy into the system, and just try to do as much as we can to, you know, make a change and do what we can do to win games. And I think that's what we did our junior and senior year. And it kind of helped those younger guys understand how it would be if they were in a situation. And JD was actually, I want to say, a freshman when all of this happened. He was coming in his freshman year.
Yeah.
And for him to reiterate on your second question, I think that he likes it. He enjoys it. You know, for one, I think he just had that shoulder injury where he sat out the whole year, but this year really didn't count. You know, he had bumps and bruises, but at the same time, it's just like, I think for him, being in a place like TCU, air raid offense, things where, you know, he's not going to be thrown in certain areas where, you know, he's running between the tackles here and there. And I think just in general, he has a smaller role at TCU, but, you know, he can excel in certain things because he doesn't have to worry about playing multiple positions.
Gotcha.
And that's one of the things I think that he's doing pretty well there. He's a guy that plays special teams, comes in, plays slot. And before his injury, he was one of those guys that was rotating in the starting role. So I think he's enjoying it.
Okay. Gotcha. You brought up the coaching change going into your junior year. That's when Mike Riley was hired. And this is one of the first questions I wrote down when I knew I was going to bring you on, because they seem like completely opposite human beings. What are some of the differences between playing for Bo Pelini and playing for Mike Riley?
I think the biggest difference that most people really had to grasp in that situation was Mike Riley was known for a nice guy. Coach Bo really cared about his team. You got a guy that's, you know, he's fierce when he's on the field, he's fierce when he's off the field, but at the same time, he has your back. And I think they actually touched bases on this past year with Adrian, saying, like, you know, it's a bunch of guys that, you know, are used to being coached hard, and they respect their coaches even when things, you know, hit the fan and your coaches, you know, chewing you out. I think that's how Coach Bo was, but a lot of times he didn't really get the respect that he earned because of the simple fact of the matter was he didn't appeal to the fan base. And I think that is the biggest difference between him and Coach Riley was, you know, Coach Riley was a nice guy. You know, he always was there to, you know, interact with the fans and, you know, keep everybody updated on a lot of things. But for me, going into my freshman year, I loved Coach Bo to death because the simple fact of the matter is he got us prepared the right way. He treated us like professionals. It was more of a business when you came in. You know, we couldn't talk to the media until we played in our first game. We had to take classes after our classes to learn how to talk to the media, the right things to say, the right things not to say, and certain things to direct towards our head coach just in case we get stuck in a situation to where things didn't turn out right of what we said and to the media. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people don't understand about Coach Bo was that he prepared us the right way. That's why so many people love Coach Bo, just because he prepared us for after football. Coach Riley, he was a great coach as well. But I think the thing about it was, to say it in a simpler way, it was more than just football for him. It was more of just making sure he made everyone happy when, you know, there's a difference between being a good guy and a great coach.
Yeah,
and,
I got you.
And one being not viewed as a great guy, but a great coach.
Yeah. So no, that makes sense.
That's the biggest difference.
So you're a guy who owns several Nebraska records. Most career passing yards, most career completions, career touchdown passes, career total yards of offense, over 10,000 yards. And there's more. So I'm curious what you've seen from Adrian Martinez and Luke McCaffrey when you watch the Huskers. And what advice, as a guy who's been there, been in those shoes, had some success at it as well, what advice might you give them?
Honestly, just for those two guys, definitely Adrian, you know, coming in his first year, playing really well, been going through some injuries. I think for him, it's more of just taking a step back and trying to learn as much as he can for these last few years, because the time flies by. But for him, I think it's just more of, you know, his first year doing really well, but then turning around and losing some guys that and key factors, definitely these last couple of years, like losing JD, now losing Wandell. It's more of everyone's going to be basically focused on turning to the quarterback because he's the backbone of that offense. He's going to be the backbone of that team. But at the same time, he has to compete. And I think Coach Foss is that is his main thing this year, is just making sure those guys don't get comfortable in that room. And it was some times where I got comfortable and being a starter for 2 years and then, you know, having to compete for my job and having a group of guys that's in there that's competing with each other, you can't get complacent. You can't really get comfortable being where you are, because yep, that's how you lose your job. And I think that's what ended up happening to Adrian this past year, was, you know, he kind of got, you know, comfortable being the guy and not having to worry about what if this happens or what if that happens or what if I don't play well. That should be the mindset and the game plan going into spring ball and fall camp, is competing every day. And I think that competitive nature within that offense, within, you know, that team in general, is just, you know, you can probably agree on this. There's times where in spring ball and fall camp, you don't really get along with your offense, or you really don't get along with your defense. But that's just,
yes,
that's just the competitive nature, yep, between your team. At the end of the day, once fall camp's over with, it's you guys together. But it's like, we're going to compete. We're going to try to, you know, do as much as we can to kick y'all butt every day that we practice. That's just how it is. Like, you're going to talk mess, I'm going to talk mess. At the same time, we're going to keep competing. And I just, for the last couple of years, I just don't see that within, you know, the team. It's just, you have to have that kind of grit about your team, your,
yep,
your quarterback, and stuff like that. It's just, if you look at those good teams, you look at their practice, you look at their media that they feed out on Twitter and things like that, you see they're competing. They're they're working their tails off in spring ball. And I'm not saying they're not working their tails off in spring ball and fall camp, but it's just that grind that you have to have within that off season, that six to seven months that you have, where you have to find an identity. And that goes back to what we first started off with when I said you have to find that identity of just getting out there and earning those spots. And I think people get so comfortable because that's how they are right now.
Yeah.
But when you lose a job that you've had for, you know, 2+ years, now all of a sudden you have to take a step back and say, look, I need to, you know, get out here and do better. And this year is just a reality check that things are going to get tougher. You're going to have a tougher season next year. You're about to play Buffalo, which is a really good team. You're going to have to turn around and play Oklahoma. It's just it's not going to get any easier. So the thing you have to do is take this off season and you have to work your tail off to compete.
You got to have you got to have that off. We called it the off season competitive animosity, which will then turn into an in-season unity, as weird as that might sound. Yep. It's kind of like when two guys fight, and they get it out, and then they become best buds. Kind of like that type of deal.
Yep.
All right, man. I want to thank you for joining me. Good luck in your final season in the IFL, and I appreciate your time, my man.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Adam.
All right, until next time, Husker Nation, go Big Red. Always remember, throw the bones.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Nebraska Spine Hospital. Ladies and gentlemen, when it's your spine, you do not want to mess around, and experience matters. That's why you can trust the experts at Nebraska Spine Hospital, the region's only spine-specific hospital. They are the best at what they do.